Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Hello. Welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. It is Tuesday, and as always, I am so excited that we get to be together tonight. And so I'm so glad you decided to join me on this journey, and I get to serve as your tour guide. And so that just makes me so excited with joy that you've decided to join in today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So let's get this party started. And you know, as we always been told by Mama and them, there's certain things that you got to do before the party gets started. So first, what we do here on Life, Love, and Wellness is we take time to get ourselves anchored in positive energy. And what we do is we share the daily affirmations from Sandy Rogers Ministries, which is on WordPress.com. So you can check us out at RevSandy.wordpress.com. And if you would like to subscribe and have them delivered into your email every day, you can. And so for today, our selection is appreciation. I willingly and willfully show appreciation to all that is in my life this day. I say my prayer of thanksgiving to God first. I wake with a smile on my face and in my heart. I am thankful for another day of life, another opportunity to experience life. I move about this day with a consciousness of gratitude. I am grateful for my place of residence, be it a room, an apartment, or a house. I make it my home regardless to how it is called. My home is my expression of all that I am. There's love and peace in my home. My home is my refuge, my sanctuary, and I am grateful. I say thank you to everything, big or small, for I have called it into my life for a reason. I am grateful for the food that nourishes my body temple. I am thankful for my surroundings. I am thankful for the beautiful people that have agreed to show up just for me. I am thankful for the situations I have created in my life. I am grateful for the opportunities that have come to bless me with learnings that I would not have received otherwise. In all things, I am grateful. Yesterday, I appreciate everything in my life. I am so extremely blessed. And I am thankful. So, again, that's from Sandy Rogers Ministries, and it's RevSandy.wordpress.com. And the next thing that we do in preparing the foundation for our show this evening is that we give gratitude and we invoke and we invite the energies of our ancestors. And as you are aware, Muhammad Ali is now in that honorable place of serving as our ancestor. And so we pay tribute, we pay homage. We're so grateful for these individuals that have paved the way, that have made the way for us. And because we know without our ancestors, we would simply not be. So we treasure their gifts to us and we bless them. Ashe, ashe. It's all about life, it's all about love, it's all about wellness. Today's show is Black Women and Health Disparities with Ms. Action Jackson, and she's going to be on in just a few moments. And I want to make sure that I invite you to join in the discussion. You may call us at 516-531-9819, and if you would press 1, you will let me know that you want to speak on air with us. And as always, all comments are welcomed and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance, and there's never any judgment. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and we're going to take a short break, and we're going to get ourselves ready for what we're about to hear with Miss Action Jackson, because I think she's going to lay it on us tonight. So let's take us a quick break here. Getting It On by my nephew, A.K. Anthony King. And you can pick that up on his CD In Time at his website, www.anthonyakking.com. And I was almost like our guest from a couple of weeks ago, Max Ivey. I was so tempted to sing, and I was like, no, no, don't mess it up. Don't be mixing it up. So I refuse to do that, and I just wanted to let you guys know, man, that was called Getting It On. That gets me going, gets me up, and gets me moving and grooving every single day. I just love that beat. And again, that's from my nephew, A.K. King. And so we're doing this thing in real time, and I'm so grateful that we're going to be talking about health disparities and black women tonight, because we need to stay informed and informed about what's going on and how we can make a difference in those type of situations in our life. And so,
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
I had to take some time right here and just honor Muhammad Ali. I remember as a teenager and the boldness that this man had. It was something that we had just not experienced before. You know, we were back in the 60s, we were more in the attitude and the behavior of marching and doing peaceful demonstrations, or we were very, very militant like the Black Panthers. But here come Muhammad Ali, that he really wasn't either place. His thing was he was bold, he was courageous, and he was confident. And so he taught a generation to stand strong and be courageous in your own beliefs. And it didn't really matter. You know, like the Vietnam War was popular at the time, and he was just like, I ain't going. I don't believe in war. I'm not doing it. You know, and so that was just such a shock to all of us, because here was this man, you know, he was a hero in our light, and he was standing against the government. So Muhammad Ali, I so appreciate you for the lessons that you taught my generation, being bold and being confident. Say it, mean it, and do it. So with much, much love, I want to give that shout out to Muhammad Ali. Wherever you are, King, you are the one that we hold near and dear to our hearts. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with me tonight on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And we have with us Action Jackson, who is going to be talking to us tonight about black women and health disparities. So, again, I'm going to give you the number in case you don't have it. You may call into the show at 516-531-9819 and just push 1 if you want to talk on air. So here we go with Miss Action Jackson. She is so powerful. She is just phenomenal. And you guys will get my excitement as I read a little bit of her bio to you so that you can understand exactly who we have with us tonight. So Action Jackson is a health and fitness expert. She is also the 2008 Fitness Olympian. I mean, come on, really. She's been called one of the most dynamic and energetic personalities in the health promotion, body awareness, behavior change, community health, and fitness fields. She has an academic background that includes a master's degree in public health, a BS degree in exercise physiology, and a master-level personal trainer weight and lifestyle and weight management specialist certification. She has proven skills and the ability to motivate, inspire, and cultivate change. She's a proud veteran of the U.S. Air Force, a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, and a domestic violence survivor who has become an advocate for domestic violence, speaking at events to bring awareness and a voice to an often stigmatized topic. Therefore, if you're looking for someone to put the expert in expertise, that's our Action Jackson. She's with us tonight. You're laughing. That's you, right? Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you to my friend, Miss Action Jackson. Come right on in and join us, darling. How you doing tonight?
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
It's great to be here. And I have to tell you, as I was listening to that song, I felt inspiration because I think every day we're given a new chance, and, you know, tomorrow's gone. And tonight I really wanted to be about us talking about what can we do for tomorrow to make our African-American women healthy. So thank you for having me on the show, and I'm ready to share my passion, and my academic knowledge is great and extensive, but beyond that, my desire to really see community mm-hmm. change is where I really find my power. Mm-hmm. So excited to be here.
Well, good, good. I'm excited that you're here with me. I was looking at some of the pictures, and audience, if you haven't seen it, the posting on Blog Talk, just take a look. She has some incredible photos with a physique that is just so sculpted. She's magical. So take a look at those pictures as well. So now, how did you get started? How did you know that where you are now, or did you know where you are now, if what you wanted to do in the very beginning?
I often get this question a lot, and I have to tell you that the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man have been ordered by God. I did not know that I would end up in this place. However, my Creator did. I actually found my passion for health and fitness while I was stationed in the United States Air Force at San Antonio Air Force Base. Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. While in the military, we could either go to lunch for an hour or we could go to the gym, and I would opt to go to the gym. During my time working out, I ran into a local celebrity bodybuilder, and he approached me one day and said to me, "You've got really great genetics. What do you do?" And I said to him, "Well, I work out." And it was kind of a joking matter. And he asked me, "Well, have you ever thought about competing?" And at the time, I was not very familiar with what he was stating. Did a little research and came back to him, and I said, "You know, I could do a fitness competition. I'm very strong. I'm flexible. I came from a cheerleading background." And he said, "Well, if you would like to do it, I could train you for 6 months." I obliged, and 6 months later, on May 13th, 2001, I stepped on the stage in front of hundreds of people and ended up taking home the overall fitness title for the entire show. So I knew right then and there that I had really found something. I would get up 5 o'clock in the morning to work out, and I was very thin at one point, but once I started to lift weights, my body completely transformed, and people will begin to ask me, "Well, how did you get into great shape?" At the time, I had no knowledge of physiology. I just knew when I went into the gym, I had a really great trainer, and he taught me what to do. I realized at that moment that I wanted to get out of the Air Force and went and earned my first degree, and 4 degrees later, I haven't stopped.
Oh, wow. Okay, so all of this started when you were in the military, even the educational part of it.
Yes. I actually started competing when I was in the Air Force. I did my very first show in 2001, and then I went on to do several other shows. I started getting featured in magazines such as Oxygen Magazine, Muscle and Fitness Hers. I got opportunities to speak at different organizations, and it was almost a uphill. You know, one thing led to another, and then I got out the military and wanted to really find out how do I get in shape and how do I learn the information to help others get in shape. And that's in 2001. I got out the military, went straight to school.
Excellent, excellent. So do you have any regrets about what you're doing now?
Oh, my gosh, no. I have not regretted anything that I have done. I have traveled around the world. I've been in New York. I've been in Canada. I've been in Panama. I don't regret any of it because it was the path that God had chosen for me, and the lives that I've been able to impact have been countless. So there's no regret. Every day I wake up and I always think about, what can I do next? And for me, I stopped competing in 2011, but I realized I still wanted to empower people. So I started writing books. And as of July of this year, I will have 5 books out on health and wellness.
Excellent, excellent. So in the work that you do, Action, do you find people that are eager to accept what you have to say, kind of on the fence about it, or rejecting? So what type of audiences do you normally get the opportunity to speak with?
I think it just depends. I do a lot of speaking to women. As you mentioned earlier in the show, I am a survivor of domestic violence. I have used fitness and wellness as a way to really empower women to build their self-esteem. So depending on the audience, if I'm going to speak to a group of women who have actually paid to come hear me speak, the defense mechanism is down. I do have those that say things often where, you know, well, I don't want to get that fit, or I don't want to have muscles like that, or I don't want to look manly such as that. And I don't take that offensively. I realize in our culture, you know, being an African-American woman, you don't see many African-American women walking around every day with the muscle or the physique that I have. So I understand where both the positive and the negative comments come from. And it's not my job to decipher why, but it's my job to love people and just keep moving.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I had a young lady, a friend of mine, that had posted on Facebook this morning. It was so apropos for this evening because she was saying that women, and that's all she was speaking about was women, we have a tendency to we make judgments on people. And so we'll say, you know, oh, she's not thin enough, and then when she gets thin, oh, you're too thin, you need to be fatter, or, you know, we don't like natural hair, and so you need to perm your hair, and then when you perm your hair, they're like, no, you know, the perm is not good, and so, you know, just always going back and forth. And so she was saying the same thing that you just said this morning, but she was coming from a place of why can't we just accept each other in love and in, you know, kinship, knowing that we all are here on this earth together and no one is any better or, you know, look any better or whatever. But we have these false rules, you know, what person should look like, what they should be like and things like that. So I'm not sure if she's on the show tonight, but I know that I invited her to be a part because her comments were so incredible, linked to what we're talking about tonight. And so you write the books, you do the workshops, and do you work with children as well when you're going through not necessarily the domestic violence seminars, but I think those are important for the younger children to be involved and aware of as well. But what do you have a special workshop that you deal with children on is my question.
I do a lot of workshops for young girls, and the premise behind many of those workshops is to really teach young girls about self-esteem. Whether people want to believe it or not, a lot of women that end up in domestic violence often don't have a very healthy self-esteem level. And as young girls are going throughout their normal lives, every day they're bombarded with images of what it means to be beautiful. And if we're honest, as you were just stating that the lady told you earlier, there's so many different messages that are being conveyed. And what's important for me is to always let these young girls and women to really understand is that you are who you are. We all come in different shapes. We all come in different sizes. And learning to accept yourself is the first place in being healthy. So for myself, even though I've been one of the top athletes in the world, at one point in life, I didn't love myself. So despite having this, you know, raved about body, this raved about physique, it wasn't the outside that was making me who I was. The inside was making me who I was. So I think it's essential that we start from the inside out. You can't give what you don't have. Another woman cannot compliment another woman if she does not feel good about herself.
That's so true. That's so true. And so the images that we hold of ourselves or the thoughts that we have about ourselves will lead us to all types of addictions. Would you consider when you first got into bodybuilding, was that almost an addiction to the gym and to working out to avoid feeling whatever feelings or emotions that you were having at that particular time? You know, we have different ways of avoiding that self inside that we don't know how to connect to, you know, be it drugs, be it alcohol, food, sex, or whatever. Was your working out at the gym, was that, did it start as being an avoidance type of technique for you?
That's a great question, and no one's ever asked me that before. I have to say no, and I think the interesting dynamic about my situation, I've always felt good about how I looked, but I'd never felt good on the inside. And what I mean by that is after my parents divorced and I was about 13 years old, I think as a 13-year-old young girl, being at an age where you're very impressionable and not having a father there, somehow I internalized his absence as something to do with myself. So for me, the vicious cycle began what I call it a destructive path of perfectionism. If I were in a magazine and it was not a perfect picture, I wouldn't even open the magazine and look at it. I could have a four-page spread and not like the images that they chose to use, and I would not share that with people. Or I would go off and travel to New York and compete, and maybe I placed second instead of first. And I did not want to share that with people. So my low self-esteem and my low self-worth manifested itself in my works, not so much my body. And that's why my message is so important for women, because women look at me and often say, if I looked like you, I'd feel really great about myself. And I tell them, no, that's what you've been taught. You're never going to feel good about yourself if you don't feel good about yourself on the inside first. And if you feel good about yourself on the inside, you value yourself enough to transform the outside.
Mm. That's awesome. I like your message, because I know that I've dealt with domestic violence for a number of years myself, being an advocate and speaker and counselor in that arena. And I know that as a survivor, as a person going through, a lot of times that low self-esteem, but just women in general, we seem to experience low self-esteem as a part of our makeup, for whatever reason that is. I haven't gotten into that type of research on that. But I know that that's a part of a lot of our dilemma, is that regardless if it comes from an authority figure when we were young telling us we weren't good enough, we'll never be good enough, we don't have anything to offer to the world, or those types of messages is what kind of knocks us to off our feet when we're young. And sometimes we never recover from that. And so domestic violence can be triggered by just the thought of someone saying that they love us and like us, and so that we put up with the cruel treatment because at least we have someone there with us. And so, yeah, that could be very detrimental to someone's health, that low self-esteem.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you state that, and tonight we're segueing into talking about African-American women and health disparities. Pardon me, one of the things that I talk about in my new book entitled Changing the Norm, A Black Woman's Guide to Eating, Feeling, and Looking Her Best, is about a situation where I met a young African-American lady at the store, and she began to ask me about what I do in order to get into great shape. And as I was speaking with her and really just building rapport, I asked her, I said to her, she was heavy, and I asked her, I said, do you want to lose weight? And she stated to me she did. And then I went on to ask her, well, what were your challenges and your barriers? And she pretty much told me why I don't want to lose weight, because my significant other likes me this big. And I had to think about how our own self-image, how we see our own bodies, and how we see ourselves have affected our health. And if you look at the statistics, 4 out of 5 African-American women are obese. And so as I'm speaking to this young lady, I couldn't help but to wonder how this young lady may, as a young child, been told certain things about herself. Because when a woman really loves herself, she starts to think about, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for someone else? And I think that that was the interesting thing for me writing my book. I continuously saw our women overweight or obese, and as I would get to talk to these women, the more and more I got to know them, there were a lot of deep-rooted issues. And so oftentimes we talk about weight, but weight is really not the problem. It's the behaviors that led to the weight gain.
Exactly, exactly. And so do you do one-on-one counseling with individuals, with women in particular?
I do. Typically when a person comes to me, we have what's called stages of change. And people may not realize it, but we actually go through 5 different stages before someone decides to take care of themselves, whether they're overweight and need to lose weight, whether they're hypertensive and not taking their medications, whether they're overeating. A person has to first acknowledge that there's a problem. And I think in our culture and a lot of our health disparities for African American women result from this. We don't really acknowledge that. You know, we're caretakers, we're the pillars of our community, and we continue to keep going and take care of everyone else. And we really don't take the time to acknowledge that we're not being good stewards of our bodies. So the first step when I do have a client is to really get to know them and ask them, do you think that there's a problem with your current health? And if they don't, then it's really hard to actually work with someone. People only change when they're ready to change.
Right.
So once I realize that they're ready to change, depending on what stage of change they're in, is how I coach them. Some people, because change is such a hard process, if you're used to eating fatty foods or you're used to inactivity, it's hard for someone just to tell you, you know, what you've been eating is not healthy, stop eating it, versus saying, let's take out one unhealthy thing from your diet plan for this month, and then next month we'll move on and remove something else. And that's something that we have to really pay attention to in our culture. Culture plays a huge role in our food choices. Culture plays a huge role in our body image, and culture plays a huge role in how we see healthy living. So depending on the nationality, if I'm dealing with an African-American woman, I approach her from a sense of who are you and who is your culture. Because if I were to do counseling with someone else from another ethnicity or race, I would have to understand them and their culture as well. So, you know, every situation is different. Not every person comes to me the same way, if that makes sense.
It does, and it makes perfect sense, because I know that we are continuing to eat the same foods or the same way that our grandparents and other elders in our family have eaten. But the one thing that we don't keep in mind as we're consuming that is that our food is not the same as it was. The source of our food is not the same as it was when our grandparents and the ancestors that prepared the food back then. They prepared the food in the homes. They usually grew the food and raised the animals that they ate, and we no longer have that. So we're not even sure of the origin of our food, and that's what's causing the sickness and the obesity that you spoke to, that we're having problems with in our society or in our homes. And so to get the conversation moving around that sometimes, like you said, can be a gentle situation or a delicate situation to handle. But the conversation must be had. And I like your approach to that action as far as, you know, just like, okay, so let's just take out this one thing today and concentrate on that for a week and then remove something else over the next week. So I like that. That's really good.
Well, it's important that you bring up food, because if you look at a lot of inner cities and if you look in a lot of places that, first of all, when we think about poor health, it's important that we have to discuss that income is a very, very great indicator of how one will choose what they eat. And unfortunately, in a lot of African-American communities, we have what's called a food desert, to where there's
right.
scarce produce. You know, in where I live at in Pensacola, Florida, I can drive up a particular street, and it's just a lower-income area, and there's literally one grocery store. And I've gone in there before to see what they offer, and the produce are not healthy. The fruits and vegetables are very bruised, not very nutritious. So when we start to think about poor health and we think about African-American women, we have to say to ourselves, what is the income bracket of these women? If we know that 4 out of 5 African-American women are obese, what is the quality of their food? Do they have access to healthy food? And not only do they have access to healthy foods, but can they afford the foods that they need to eat? So one of the things that I talk about in my book is being healthy on a budget. Oftentimes people say that healthy eating is too expensive, and I like to say healthy eating costs more, but it's not more expensive. Illness is more expensive.
Exactly.
So if you're not eating healthy, then you are more than likely, if we look at the statistics of our women, African-American women, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, some forms of cancer, that's where the expense really comes in. And that expense comes out of your pocket if you're on blood pressure medication, insulin, and even looking at the lack of mobility if you start to have joint issues because of excess weight gain. So often to go back food and tell people, reprogram how you see healthy living. Don't think about food being too expensive. Look at it as an investment. It's an investment. Just like we invest in our hair, or we invest in our nails, or we invest in our skincare, we also have to invest in our food.
Very well said. Would you define obese and give the definition of that so that we're all talking the same language on that, around that?
Absolutely. When we talk about obesity, we say that anyone that has a body mass index, and a body mass index is we take a person's height and we take their weight, and there's a formula that we come up with. If a person has a body mass index of 30 or above, they are clinically considered obese. Now, we can go even further than that. If a person has a body mass index of 40 or above, they're considered morbidly obese. And the body mass index, and a lot of conversation over the years has really been spoken about the BMI, because African-American women, our body is composed different than a lot of other people. So when we look at the BMI is not very fitting for the African-American woman because it does not consider lean, dense muscle tissue, and it doesn't consider that genetically our body is proportioned differently than other women. So although it's not the perfect indicator, a lot of times we can look at diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses, and there's a high correlation when people have a 30 BMI that we notice that there's trends of illnesses with a BMI that high. So that is what a BMI is. So when your doctor tells you, I need for you to get your body mass index down, he's talking about how much you weigh for your height.
Okay. It's just new terminologies, that's all. But I just wanted to make sure that everyone was understanding what you were talking about when we use the word obesity, because there are people that don't even realize that they're obese. Maybe their doctors haven't spoken to them about it, but they have all those characteristics, you know, where looking at the proportion of their weight to their height is too far off. It's not in balance. You know, it's not proportioned. And so that's all that body mass index is, the BMI, is that you have too much weight on your body frame. And so just wanted to break it down a little bit for us. So let's take a quick break, action, and come back and finish up with this discussion. You are really hitting on some wonderful topics. And I know that everyone is appreciating the wealth of knowledge that you're bringing. Audience, if you want to ask her a question, just hit 1 or call us at 516-531-9819 and let us know by pushing 1 on your dial that you want to speak on air. So we're going to take just a quick break so we can catch our breath, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Winning a hand, oh, she's a bitch. How?
That was the Commodore's Brick House. Welcome back. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I want to give a quick shout-out to Telecom Professionals for Social Responsibility. They've been in the Atlanta area since 2010 with summer camp programs, and they've served over 100 underserved youth from the age of 6 to 12. They have Camp Integrity, and it encourages high self-esteem and focus on identifying the many forms of bullying. Camp Integrity is scheduled for June the 13th of 2016. And so they're still looking for partners to help this work out for the children, because bullying is not just a kid's issue, it's a social issue. So they're looking for dedicated, committed partners and volunteers that will support their vision. And Barbara Carrington is the CEO, and she may be reached at telephone number 404-792-165. Again, that is Camp Integrity, and the Telecom Professionals for Social Responsibility is sponsoring this event to help children with bullying issues that they face on a day-to-day basis. Welcome back. Welcome back to Action Jackson and Black Women and Health Disparities. So we've been talking to Ms. Jackson this evening about how she got started, some issues and situations that she has dealt with in her life and how she's overcome, and using that to fuel her passion and her purpose to talk to individuals, but particularly women, Black women, about health issues and how we can better serve each other and getting to a place of being healthier and living a healthier lifestyle. So we want to continue this discussion, and I want Ms. Jackson to tell you guys how to get in contact with her, where to find out more information. We're going to do it a couple of times, but she's going to post it. She's going to tell you now what her website is, how to get in contact with her, and then we're going to go into her books and some other things that she's doing. So would you give that to the audience for me, please?
Absolutely. I have two different websites. My personal website is LaticiaActionJackson.com, and Laticia is spelled L-A-T-I-C-I-A, LaticiaActionJackson.com. And then I have a business website. I offer premier health, wellness, and nutritional counseling, and that website is TransformationHealth.us. So that's TransformationHealth.us. I do a lot of online coaching, and I often tell my clients, although I'm not with you in person, I'm always with you. As a coach, I meet with my clients, whether it's via phone or Skype, on a weekly basis. So I'm a hands-on type of coach. I really love what I do, and I've had so many successful stories that when people ask me, well, what is your most successful story, I tell them all of them. When a person takes control of their health, their whole life changes. So transforming your health really does transform your life.
Yeah, you have a different attitude. You have a different energy. You have a different view of who you are and what you're capable of achieving.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I often tell women, especially our women, I think I have such a passion for us, because underneath our heavier bodies, or underneath the extra weight that we carry, I believe is not just excess weight in pounds, it's excess weight in hurt. We've got a barrier up from one another, and I think it's time for us to really just lock arms with one another and realize that we're all on the same team. You know, it's not me against you or her against me. Every day that we wake up and God gives another breath, we all have struggles and we all have challenges and we all have barriers. But I think if we come together collectively and we come to the table and we discuss those things, it's easier to find solutions when we're talking, and it's not very easy to find solutions when we just keep moving in life.
I love your comments. That is so appropriate, that the excess weight is representative of more than just perhaps poor eating, but what we feel that we're carrying around with us that gives you a whole nother look at why we may have the problem in the African-American community as opposed to most others. But, you know, we're all kind of slowly catching up with this obesity trend. And, again, we'll get back to the pool, but we want to stay focused on what we're talking about with you. And so the you have 5 books that you've written. So you want to give us the names of your books and then tell us about what subjects you're covering in them, or, you know, what's the highlight of the book?
Absolutely. My very first book was entitled I'm Not a Size Zero, Defining Your Curves While Loving Yourself. I wrote that book after I had gone through my domestic violence situation, and I really wanted women to realize once again that I looked at myself and I looked at the truth of who I was, and although I was successful on the outside, and although I had all these accolades and all the degrees and all the certifications and all the national and international recognition, I didn't feel good on the inside. And I realized as I wrote that book that my story was not unique. It was unique to me, but there were millions of other women who were trapped inside of their own bodies. And I'm Not a Size Zero. The message behind that book is that the most important size a woman can become is a size healthy from her mindset, from her spiritual aspect, and from her emotions. And that book really deals with the holistic approach to a woman. And then I have another book, what's called Yes, Women Lift. And this book is strictly about resistance training. This book is for the woman that doesn't really need to look within herself at that moment. And she basically just says, hey, I feel good about myself. I just really want to learn how to work out properly. I've got a little excess, you know, weight that I'm carrying, not a lot. And I really want to use weight training or resistance training to get in shape. That book literally teaches her from the time she walks through the gym to the time she leaves how to actually pick her exercises, identify her body type, and what food she should be eating. Then I have another book entitled Yes, Girls Lift. This book was created for teenagers from the age of 13 to 17. And once again, this book is really emphasizing that being fit is about being healthy on the inside. And I talk to girls from a voice of you're beautiful, you're smart, and strong girls are smart girls. So instead of these young girls seeing the constant images of skinny, I want them to realize that being strong and being fit is beautiful. Then I have another book called Yes, Black Women Lift. And this book is specifically for the black woman that has her curves, but she wants to tone her body, just doesn't really know how to start or where to start. I think in our culture, it's very uncommon for us to lift weights. And this book kind of gently introduces us to it and tells the benefits thereof. Lastly, my book that will be out next month is called Changing the Norm, A Black Woman's Guide to Eating, Feeling, and Looking Her Best. The premise behind this book is to really look at the social and culture norms that really affect our health as African-American women. So everything that I write is about empowering a woman, and to me, the center of who she is starts from the inside out. And all of those books are available on Amazon and on CreateSpace.
Oh, great, great. So they're also available on your website, on your
yes.
two websites that you did earlier? Okay.
All of the books are actually located on my main website at LetitiaActionJackson.com.
Okay. Just wanted to clear that
up. And if anybody's
up.
Out there listening to us, I would love for them to call in, whether you have a question about nutrition, whether you have a question about weight loss, whatever it is, I want you guys to feel comfortable. If you're hearing this conversation right now, wherever you're at in this world, realize that there's millions of other women out there that may have the same question that you have. So call in and join us.
And we've got plenty of callers on, and they're not shy. That's what's interesting. Well, here we go. I've got one right now. Let me get her on, get them on. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's a man or a woman on area code 510-205. Would you give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or concern, please?
Okay. My name is Sabrina. I'm calling from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Hi, Sabrina.
And,
hi,
hello.
Sabrina.
Hello. The question that I have is about weight loss when you are menopausal, and then also I recently found out that I had a vitamin D deficiency, and someone told me that that would or could possibly impact all that I'm doing to lose weight. It could hinder that process.
Well, that's a very complex question, so let me address the first one. Often
okay.
when we go through menopause, there are certain hormones in our bodies that causes us to retain certain body fat. And we've got two different types of body fat. We have mainly adipose tissue. We have, I don't want to get too much into scientific. You have a layer of body fat that the body is required to have just for normal functioning and normal movement. But then you have excess body fat, and a lot of that's caused from excess calorie consumption, but then it's also caused because of when we do hit a certain age, our hormones change. So you'll notice a lot of women as they get older, they begin to gain more weight. Now, outside of their hormonal changes, a lot of times women gain weight too as they get older because their physical activity slows down. So my question to you would be, have you noticed that your physical activity has slowed down, and have you noticed that you've had different dietary changes? Because those will factor in as well, not just your hormonal stages.
Well, physical activity has increased.
Okay.
And my diet has kind of shifted. I've been vegan. It seems like no matter how I change my diet, I don't see as much. I'll see changes in my body as far as like fat reduction, but the scale still just kind of stays the same. So I might eat a dress size, but the scale is still saying 165 pounds. So
in essence, what I hear you saying, are you focused on the number on the scale as an indicator of the success of what you're doing?
Not necessarily, but when you talk about BMI or things like that, that's where it kind of gets more, though my body may change. If that weight on the scale doesn't go down, then BMI-wise, I'm still outside, I'm still obese.
Okay, let's address that because that's a very good question. One of the things that I did not cover, when you think about your body, everyone's body, when you ever hear the word body composition, have you ever heard of that word?
Yes, I've had my body fat measured before.
Okay, so when you think about body composition, your body is composed of water, you've got bone, you've got muscle tissue, and then you've got fat. So when we look at the BMI, and I don't know if you came on earlier, the BMI is not a great snapshot. It is not the most accurate indicator of how fit or healthy you are. I'm 160 pounds, and I'm 5'7". Now, if you saw my images, you know that I don't have a high BMI, but because I have dense muscle tissue, if you just take my height and my weight, I am classified almost in the unhealthy range for the BMI. So what I would really, really advise you to do is don't only look at the scale as an indicator if you're healthy. How are your energy levels? When was the last time you had lab work to check your triglycerides, your cholesterol levels? Are you hypertensive? Are you diabetic? The numbers on the scale alone are not a good indicator of how healthy you are. And if you're exercising and you're not seeing a weight loss, it also could be a couple things. If you're lifting weights, then you're gaining lean muscle tissue, and that's going to make the numbers on the scale go up. Also, if you have been doing the same workout for a very long time, the body has hit a plateau or has adapted. So in order for you to, if you're wanting the weight to go down, you have to do something different. I would probably say to you, my book, Yes, Black Women Lift, would be good for you because it sounds as if you already know what to eat and you already know the ins and outs of the BMI. You need to push your body to a point safely where it's never been pushed before. That is the only way you're going to see a change. Our bodies are lazy. I mean, if you let's say you've been doing the treadmill for 30 minutes and you're faithful at it, right? You're doing 30 minutes 5 days a week, and you know in your mind you've been doing it this long, and so you're asking yourself, well, why isn't my body changing? Your body is saying to you, I'm bored. This is not challenging me anymore. But then if you move it to 45 minutes and you increase the intensity and you increase the speed, your body has to let go of more energy, and that's how you burn calories. A calorie is a unit of heat. So I know that that was a lot in one spiel, but it's basically you've got to shock your body. If you go to my website and send me an email on transformationhealth.us, you can meet with me for a free wellness consultation, and then I can talk to you about some of the programs that I offer. I could actually design a workout program just for you based on the information that you and I go over.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Did you have any other questions?
No, that was it.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm very proud of you for taking care of yourself.
Sure, thank you.
You're welcome.
She sounded more energetic after you gave her that information, you know, like there's hope, you know, at the end of the rainbow. So I get that from people, you know, because we don't know where to turn to a lot of times, and going into the gym is not always the solution that we're looking for. And so I'm so thankful that you do what you do in the world action that, you know, people can come to you or go on your website and get the information that's needed to change their lives around. So thank you. I thank you on behalf of the women as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely love what I do, and I want women to feel empowered. I think there's nothing better than to wake up in the morning, to look in the mirror and like the reflection that you see. And I truly believe as African-American women, a lot of the health issues that we have starts with them. So another thing that I often tell my clients, every day when you wake up, whether you're 20 pounds overweight, 40 pounds overweight, 50 pounds overweight, look in the mirror and say something nice about yourself and about your body. You know, I have this saying, everywhere you go, you're there. So I really want for our women to embrace themselves and to really look at yourself. And if you're not in the condition with your health the way you need to be, don't condemn. Love yourself enough to say, you know what, it's time to make a change. Condemnation gets you nowhere. Self-hate gets you nowhere. But love gets you everywhere.
Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, one of the exercises that I like for women to do when I'm working with them is just wrapping their arms around themselves, you know, and just hugging on themselves and just feel that self-love, because we've got to get to a place, like you say, you know, where that self-love or the first love that we give to ourselves is what nourishes us on a daily basis. And to look in that mirror and learn to smile at whatever you see reflected back at you, because that's the best person in the world, that one that's looking back at you in your mirror. And so it's interesting how some people will choose not to even have a mirror in their homes because they don't want to see their image because of those things that's been said in childhood. And sometimes, too, that psychology from our the words that were spoken to us as we were young children repeats itself over and over and over in our heads. Even if that person is no longer alive, you know, call you little chubby or little fatty or, you know, girl, you eat too much or, you know, just any of that has a tendency to still wreak havoc in our lives as we get older, and we wonder why we can't change our eating habits and why we can't lose the weight. We need to give peace to those individuals, love them, thank them for what they said. Don't go around being mad with them. Thank them for whatever their part was and learn to take power over your life as Ms. Jackson is telling us tonight. So it's so important. You've got to love
yourself.
You must love yourself.
And, you know,
yourself.
I think one of the things that we don't talk about, I'm not really a numbers person, but I am a public health officer by trade. My master's is in public health. And data is very important to us because we look at the numbers and we say, per capita, these many women are obese or overweight. But what I never really see that we talk about are the emotional baggages of being overweight. And I think that it's a very touchy subject, and I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I know from the 15 years I've been in the business, when I sit and consult with a woman, the weight is never really the issue. So I would really encourage if you have a church or if you have even just a book club or you have a walking group, sit down and have just an open talk. You know, because sometimes if we're honest, we kind of keep things to ourselves and we suffer in silence, or we lash out on one another, once again going back to the beginning of our conversation. When I don't feel good about myself, it's easy for me not to feel good about another woman. And I think in order for us as African-American women to really get beyond the place that we're at, we have to stop and look at ourselves. And to be honest, to look at self and to really delve deep into who we are is very painful, but without acknowledgement and confrontation, you can't transform yourself. So don't think about just the food or think about the number on a scale. Ask yourself, how did I get here and how do I get myself to where I need to go?
Exactly, exactly. I like that, acknowledgement and confrontation.
Yeah, I use that when I counsel my women. It's called ACT, and it's something that I've trademarked. I also do wellness for corporate women, and I often tell them, are you going to act? And women look at me like, what do you mean? Well, are you going to acknowledge it? Are you going to confront it? Are you going to transform it? So that is the acronym that I have trademarked with my wellness program, and it's called ACT. And if you think about
it,
ACT is an adjective. I mean, it causes you, are you acting? Are you doing something to change what you don't like? And you can't change what you're not willing to acknowledge. So act on it and move forward, you know. And oftentimes you have to be your own best friend. You've got to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I don't like how I am. You've acknowledged it. I need to change that. You confronted it. And now I'm going to start doing A, B, and C to transform it. It gives you power.
Mm-hmm.
Power doesn't come from just acknowledging something. I can acknowledge if I'm not taking care of my finances. But when I confront it, okay, I've acknowledged that I'm not where I need to be financially. I'm confronting it by not spending. I'm going to transform it by creating a budget. So the same thing with your health. Acknowledge it. I'm 50 pounds overweight. I'm confronting it. I eat too late. I don't get enough sleep. I don't drink enough water. And I don't exercise. Now, what are you going to do to transform it? You need to act. Act today.
Right.
All you have is today. What are you going to do to act differently for today? That's all you have is right now. You know, it's not too late. You can have a bottle of water before you go to bed. You can get on the ground and do 10 push-ups. And if you can't do 10 push-ups, if you do two, that's two more than you did yesterday.
That's true. So you have a plan for everybody. Say, look, you don't have an excuse when you come to me. We're going to get to work and take care of this.
Hey, I don't like excuses. Excuses get us nowhere. They keep us trapped.
That's true. That's true. And I think we've got one more caller. Let's see.
Sure.
Excuse me. All righty. Come on, folks. Just push one on your dial. We got a lot of callers. I thought we had another person that wanted to speak with you. But, you know, it's so important. I know people are embracing what you're saying and listening, but we must be about the business of having these discussions. Just like Sabrina, who called in from San Francisco, you know, have conversations with your friends, you know, with a small circle, maybe just with one person. But you need to start having the open discussions so that we can start bringing life to it, so that we can start acknowledging it, so that we can confront it. Because as long as we keep our mouths closed around the situations, our health and our flexibility and fitness, then we have a tendency not to change. And it's because we haven't taken any action at all to acknowledge where we are. So I like that ACT acronym that you use and that you've trademarked in the work that you do, Jackson, Ms. Jackson.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. all about, at the end of the day, really taking accountability for yourself. And once again, I know we're closing in, but whoever listened to this show today, definitely reach out to me. I know that, you know, weight loss and personal health is sometimes a very intimate type of thing, and many people are not comfortable with really exposing that in front of other people. So you can actually email me at LetitiaActionJackson@gmail.com, And you can send me your phone number if you want to sign up for a free wellness consultation. I love to work with you, whether you're in the state of Florida, if you're in California, like our recent caller. Healthy goes around the world, and I would love to coach you.
You know, I wanted to talk in the description of the show. I put in there that you said it's time to explore the truth about the belief that being sick is a good thing.
Oh,
so
boy, Sandy, do we have time for that?
Yes.
Yes. I often in our culture, and I believe that there's a chapter in my book called Is Your Confidence Killing You? And that's where we're going to segue in about the statement that, girl, I'm thick. In our culture, our women are absolutely beautiful, and we often say, well, I'm thick. Now, that terminology has been used so often that I believe that we become desensitized to what it really means. Because when you look at a woman that's curvaceous, I think curves are very beautiful. But, however, when you go beyond curvaceous, and we're talking about unhealthy bodies, I think that we have got to stop using the word thick. Because sometimes we have become so sensitized, we become desensitized, and we have accepted larger bodies. When I was doing some research for my book, I actually went to the American Psychological Association, and they often do a lot of studies on women and body image. African-American women compared to a lot of other ethnicities, although we have the highest rate of obesity, when they gauge confidence, we had the highest rate of confidence with our bodies. So a part of me has to think our culture has been very accepting of larger body frames because it's looked at as thick as being a good thing. So I have to often wonder, has our culture really hindered us in the way our bodies are? Because when you look at the music videos, when you hear a lot of African-American men speak, I like my woman thick or I like my woman with meat on her bones, what does that really translate to? So if she's thick, is she healthy? If she's curvaceous, is she healthy? That's what we've got to start asking ourselves. We've got to get away from this thick mentality and I need my curves. We really have to focus on, am I healthy? Are your curves healthy? Yes, it's nice to fill out a pair of jeans. Yes, it's very nice to look very voluptuous in a swimsuit, but are you heart healthy? Are you joint healthy? You know, those are the things we've really got to start asking ourselves.
Yeah, excellent point, you know, because we have the Botox and all of the medications or the implants to give us bigger hips, you know, and a lot of the media named people, call them celebrities or whatever you would like to call them, you know, so they go from perhaps being a size 2. And now, you know, they have these hips that are just wide as all get out, you know, from the injections that they have. And so that's another portrayal of that thick is beautiful or thick gets it done type of mentality. And so that we don't see the other part of that, you know, the unhealthy part of that. And so the media has a lot to do with that, the play on that. And our health and our unhealthy lifestyle. So, callers, let me give you the information one more time in case you have forgotten. You can reach us at 516-531-9819. This is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And so tonight we're talking about black women and health disparities with my friend, Miss Letitia Action Jackson. So call in, ask her a question, and share with us what the challenges that you're having or perhaps in your community, in your family, any tips that you want to share with us that you have found to work, what you do and how it impacts others or whatever your comment may be. We'll be on the air for another 20 minutes or less. So give us a call. Or push 1 on the dial. Let us know that you're ready to speak. Again, the number is 516-531-9819. And we do have a lot of callers that are listening to the show Ms. Jackson, so I know that they're probably taking notes of everything that you're saying, and that's good as well. So where were you initially raised? Were you from the South or a different area or?
I am actually a true Southerner. I was born in Pensacola, Florida, where I currently reside. I grew up in a very loving, active family, and I'm very thankful for that. My dad was an all-state baseball and football player, received a scholarship. My mother was a track athlete. So I've come from a line of athletes.
Oh, wow.
My cousin is actually Jabbar Gaffney. He played in NFL, and his father, Derek Gaffney, played in NFL as well. So I think a lot of my passion comes from growing up around athletes and really understanding the importance of movement. If you get me still for 15, 20 minutes, you're doing a good job.
That's why it was so hard for us to catch up with one another.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I love what I do, because when I have the ability to have people move, and when I used to work as a master level personal trainer, I would do a lot of group exercise classes, and I would go into churches and lead, you know, different fitness programs. It's just so amazing, Sandy, to see people up and moving. You know, I often tell my clients to look at your joints. I mean, our Creator was so amazing. Our joints are meant to move, and when we stop moving, we literally die. And there's something for me about wanting people to live. Being healthy goes beyond just how you look. It's about living and getting up every day fighting for your life and say, you know what, I'm not going to lay in this bed. So much illness plagues our community, and people die way before they're supposed to. And they leave behind their family, their friends, and more importantly, they leave behind their purpose and their destiny because they were unhealthy. And that's why I'm so passionate about this. If I could control it, nobody would die from heart disease, diabetes. I would love if everyone just died at 95 of natural causes, you know. Go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, I've got a friend, and we were just laughing about it a couple of days ago because he keeps telling me that he's going to live to be 100. And I'm like, well, I'm going to cross that threshold with you. I'm going to live to be 100 too, you know.
Right,
and so,
right.
You know, and so we've got to do that for each other, you know, like keep each other pumped up and motivated. And so when you have that as one of your goals, then you have to eat right, keep your body fit, move your body. And the attitude, you know, that emotional component is so important because that's where it all starts. You know, it starts in the head. It starts in how you feel about yourself and how you feel about where you belong in this world and if you're living your passion, you know. So all of that purpose, living, the correct whatever you put into your body. And so the thoughts and the food and the exercise are all important elements.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like to say it's a mind, body, spirit, and emotional connection. You can't really do one without the other. So it's, it's powerful if you can combine all of those. And you don't have to get all of it done in one day. You know, we're human beings, and we're not going to be able to make those changes. But just taking a conscious effort every day and doing something, and you'll get to where you need to be.
Exactly. So, again, I'm going to give you Ms. Jackson's two websites, and we're going to talk about her books just one additional time. So she has two websites. Her main website is Latisha Action Jackson. That's Latisha ActionJackson.com. And her business website is TransformationHealth.us. TransformationHealth.us. And going on either one of those websites and sending her a message, she will respond back to you. And she offers a free consultation, initial consultation with you, and will design a program that will meet your needs and what you need or what you tell her you want to accomplish in your life. So she's got 5 books. I'm not a size 0, and that's but I'm a size healthy. And so that's a holistic approach to acceptance and body image and making changes, but starting with an acceptance of who you are right where you are. And then she has Yes, Women Lift, and it's a guide to how to use the gym to get your resistance training done effectively. And Yes, Girls Lift is for teenagers, 13 and above, a guide to being strong and fit, showing the beauty in that. And Yes, Black Women Lift, it also introduces the benefits of the resistance training. And then Changing the Norm, it's an empowering book for dealing with Black women's health. And so, Letitia, you want to share, I know you've been telling us all night about your passion and your purpose and that you're living that, but is there anything additional that you want to share or leave with the audience in as far as their overall health and how they move about in the world and what you feel is like the key nugget to leave with them?
I believe that the key nugget is to realize that you were created for a purpose. I truly believe when people wake up in the morning and don't feel that they have a purpose, they don't do the things to reach their purpose. And what I mean by that is when you wake up in the morning and realize that you are alive and there's a breath in your body, your breath is there for a reason. And I think what saddens me is that often people don't reach their – I believe in life there's many destinations. And many people only reach so many of those destinations because of their poor health. So when you wake up in the morning, I want everyone that's listening to this to ask yourself, am I healthy enough to live out my divine purpose? And if your answer is no, you've acknowledged it, now confront it. What do you need to do to change that? And then work on transforming it. Find like-minded people around you that support you. Don't go to others who don't realize their own divine purpose, because sometimes that brings negativity, and negativity affects our health as well. Find someone that's going to encourage you. Find someone that's going to keep you accountable, and more importantly than that, find somebody that's going to give you the education and the tools to transform your health. Once again, good health equals a good life in many aspects, and that's what's more important than anything else. You can have money, you can have status, you can have fame, but if you don't have health, you're poor.
Health is wealth.
It is. It's a cliche, but it's yes.
Yeah. I want to dedicate a song to you, Ms. Jackson, and I'm going to let one of our ancestors sing it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ooh, yeah. Lost touch with my soul. I had nowhere to turn. I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down, and I tumbled, but I did not. My darkest hour, my faith kept me alive. I pick myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Oh, found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I. I was not built to break. No, no, I got to know my own strength.
That is so beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Miss Whitney Houston, I didn't know my own strength. And, man, that just kind of, it took me to a place. And I wanted to just have you to touch on, let me say this, you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, Sandy Rogers Show. You still have a couple of moments. If you would like to ask Ms. Jackson a question, make a comment, compliment her on what she shared with you tonight at 516-531-9819. But in going back to that song, I Did Know My Own Strength, it talks about an inner strength, and I believe that's what you were speaking of earlier, Letitia, when you were talking about getting to know that person, loving that person, loving on that person, saying nice things in the mirror to that person. But you also picked a flyer up from off of your website, I believe. It's called Superwoman Isn't Your Name. Yes.
Well,
tell us a little bit.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sandy.
No, I was just, no, I know you're going to answer it, so I'm going to leave it right there with you.
I actually wrote that article for Business Magazine, and the title of the article is Superwoman Isn't Your Name. That's actually a chapter title in my book as well. And too often, especially for our women, we have what I call I'm a strong black woman syndrome. And because we have been taught to keep going even though we want to break, we sometimes think that we're superwomen. And too often having that belief keeps us from asking for help. And the superwoman syndrome, basically, we wake up every morning, we put our superwoman cape on, we head out the door, and we take care of everybody else, but we forget about ourselves. And I think as African-American women, sometimes, unfortunately, we have been put in positions where we have to have the superwoman mentality, but even superwoman takes a day off. Even superwoman asks for help when she needs it, and even superwoman acknowledges when she's tired and she needs help. So that is the superwoman mentality. Let it go. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get everything right, but you do have to be kind to yourself. And some days I don't want to deal with the world. Some days I don't want to answer business emails. And some days I just want to lay in the middle of my bed and do nothing. And it's okay because I'm learning to love me apart from the athlete, apart from the scholar, apart from the icon. I'm learning just to love me for my mere existence. So that is what loving yourself is about, loving you based on nothing else than just being you.
Right. It's powerful. We've got a caller. We've got actually two callers. So the first caller is 678-862. Give us your name and where you're
good
calling
evening.
From. And, hey.
Hi. This is Antoinette. Hi. Good evening. I'm calling from the Atlanta
area.
Hey,
Antoinette.
Hi,
Sandy. How are you? And good evening to
I'm
you,
well.
Letitia. It's a wonderful discussion we're having.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciate your guest tonight, and she's given a wonderful experience by listening to your blog talk. It's been very intimate in so many ways, and also definitely very helpful. I've been sitting here taking notes, and a few things that she mentioned during the conversation about domestic violence, which we know a lot of people have experienced it, but it's something that's taboo to discuss. And then she also mentioned challenges and barriers to success. Socialization is, it seems, where women are trained and socialized to take care of others, everyone else first, and then give ourselves permission to, you know, feed ourselves the crumbs at the end of the day instead of taking care of ourselves first. and, you know, striving to be the best we can be so that we can do more for others. And the other thing she said that I thought was interesting is people change when they're ready to change. And I think that's something we briefly touched on before, Sandy, in terms of people know what they need to do, but then there's the accountability part of getting involved. And also what she said about who you are and who is your culture in terms of your eating habits and, you know, how you embrace food, nutrition, and what you actually call healthy living. And so I've just enjoyed listening for the last hour and some minutes, and I look forward to hearing more from this wonderful guest you've had tonight. Thank you so much, Sandy, for your efforts, and thank you to your guest, Letitia.
Yes.
So that's
thank
all
you.
I wanted to say, ladies. I really, really have enjoyed this because so many times, you know, Black women are the last to be considered, and people are wondering why we're even concerned with our own self issues, but we should definitely be, you know, why not?
Absolutely.
And so once upon a time, I was looking for a chart on the anatomy and realized that the only anatomy charts were of men. And it's like, well, how am I supposed to relate to the anatomy of the female body when all I see is anatomy charts that are printed and designed with the man's anatomy? So I think we've come a long way, but we definitely do have a long way to go. And so I thank you for your time and your efforts. And I'm really glad to hear about your philosophy, really.
Thank you. I appreciate you for calling in, and I think it's very important you address some very key issues. I think why I was so passionate about writing my books that were targeting African-American women, it's very hard to emulate what you never see. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's very hard when you never see an image of a healthy Black woman, how do you emulate something that you're never exposed to? And
yes.
I love all women, you know, and I hope everyone
right.
hears that from my heart. But I also acknowledge I've been in the fitness field for a very long time, and
mm-hmm.
I can distinctly remember being on certain platforms and having these moments where I look around and very few people, if maybe sometimes depending on the setting, none of them look like me. And regardless
right.
of all of us were in the same atmosphere, they did
mm-hmm.
not have the same struggles that I had being a Black woman. So
right.
it's to me, it's a privilege to be able to say, you know what? I'm just like you. I
yeah.
understand you. I get you. I have just been blessed with the knowledge to help you get healthier. But I think we have to start seeing each other from a different perspective and realize that we're not forgotten about. We just have not really had a voice and used it in these areas. So
exactly.
thank you for acknowledging that. And I'm going to pass the torch to you. And I want to encourage you, if you're not already doing so, start having these talks with your girlfriends. Start having these talks with your tribe and really sit down and get to the root of these issues. You know, how did we get here? Because if we look at our hows and our whys, we can really start to uncover a lot.
I believe you're so
got,
right. If, go ahead. I'll step away now. But thank you very much. It was
thank
it
you.
Was
and
a
don't
very,
forget to.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Stay
thank
in contact with
it.
Me. You can also find me on Facebook and all the other social medias and send me an
thank
email.
Thank you so much.
You.
Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
And our last caller is on area code 940-535. Give us your name and your where you're calling from and your question or concern, please, in our last couple of minutes.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Eve, and I am from Texas. And I'm
hey,
calling. Hey, Sandy. Oh, and I
love your guest. I love you. I love your guest.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a fitness professional also, and my peers, you know, I started way back then, and we, like, grew up together. But some of them, they have stopped, you know, working out, and they just start doing other things. So I would ask them, I say, well, when do you know that is, you know, you're going to stop or it's time to stop. And they would tell me, well, your body will tell you. So what has happened, I'm 60 plus, so what has happened is that I know my body has changed, and I heard you talking about the wonderful ways that our body do change as we get older. But what hasn't changed that they have told me about is my love for fitness. So my question to you, and, you know, and I got a birthday this month also, and I'm starting moving on into those beautiful, beautiful way up the line 60s, and my body still love working out, and you're just the person to ask that. And you know, they told me, but it's still going on, and they're not there anymore. They're doing some other things, the majority of them. And just like you, I'm the only one like me that's still there during that time. So in this time. So when do your body, when do you know? They told me your body or no. Is that true or is that just a saying?
Let me get clarity on that. When will you will know your body will what, want to stop working out?
Yeah, you know, because I was asking, when is it going to change? You know, when is it going to, when am I going to stop doing it and working out as much or loving it?
Are you ready for my response?
I'm so ready.
Embrace yourself. Are you ready?
I'm going to brace myself on this one. I'm ready.
It will never stop. And I think that this is what I tell people. When you begin to make healthy a lifestyle, it no longer becomes a chore. It's a privilege, and you look forward to it. So when people start to tell you, well, you're at this age, by this age you'll slow down, I say to you in a loving and kind way, you tell them thank you, but no thank you. I tell people I will probably die on the treadmill. I'm going to move my body until the good Lord takes the last breath out of my body. So we were not created to die. We were created to thrive. Keep moving, keep grooving, and keep doing you. So you will never stop, period. Point blank, done.
Hey, yeah. You know what? You gave me extra heart.
Yeah. The only way that you'll stop, honestly, is if you make a decision. And I want people to realize this. Your life is exactly what you choose to make of it. If you choose not to take care of your body will result thereof. On the same token, if you choose to take care of your body will take care of you. Keep taking care of your body.
Oh, a lot of love. And you know what? Oh, with all that good information, now, once you give it to me, you give it to a thousand and thousand others because I'm going to share it. They're going to share it. It's on. And this is what I got to say.
There you go.
Hey, you.
Well,
a lot of love.
So much.
Last bit, you better hear from me.
I look forward to it. Send me an email. I hope to hear from a lot of people that didn't call in tonight. And to those of you that did call in, please stay connected with me and know that I carry you in my spirit and I'm cheering you on to a healthier life.
I love you and thank you. And
love
so.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we are actually over time, so let me just give out your contact information one more time, Leticia, and then we're going to call it a night on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So you may reach Leticia Action Jackson at Leticia Action Jackson.com, and that's Laticia Action Jackson. Well, saying that is really a tongue twister there. And then her business web is transformationhealth.us. It's been a pleasure, and I certainly, 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 with all my heart, soul, and spirit, just appreciate the love and the energy that you bring to the world and to us, and particularly to Black women and our health issues. And I just want to once again say that we love you, we appreciate you, and we certainly thank God for you and your presence. And blessings to you wherever you go from this day forward. We love you. Yes. And so we'll see you guys next week. Same station, same time. Leticia, you had another thought you wanted to share with us?
No, I love each and every one of you. I'm putting my arms around you, and wake up tomorrow morning, look in the mirror, and say hello, gorgeous, and keep going.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, thank you. Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Bye.
Talk to you guys next week.